Open and dismiss for junior church. We're almost done with John. Not quite. We're going to have at least one more week in John. Jesus forgives and restores. Yeah, this is such a rich text. See, Peter messed up pretty good a couple chapters back when he denied Jesus three times. And I could say, I wish that I could say I can't relate to that at all. You know, I wish I could stand before you and tell you I've never failed my Lord. But the reality is that I have. As I look out across the congregation, nothing personal, but I see a lot of imperfect disciples. It's just the reality of it, right? I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just a realist, all right? We often feel like others sometimes are even looking at us and judging us, but I assure you, I see more failures when I look in a mirror than when I look out across the congregation. If you trust in Jesus, you don't, you know, what other people think really doesn't matter much because we really only got to take our confessions to Jesus. Now, there are times it helps to go to someone else and say, I need some accountability. I need a little help. And there's times we are told in Scripture to confess before our brothers and sisters. But I can't forgive your sins anyway, only Jesus can. So it doesn't really matter what me or anyone else around you thinks. The good news for all of us imperfect disciples is that Peter, who we look at with great respect, was not perfect either. And maybe this conversation between Jesus and Peter, maybe it can offer us some hope. I've seen some people just wallow in self-loathing when they mess up. And I think today's message shows clearly that Jesus doesn't want us walking around with our heads down, beating ourselves up. The prize of lost souls is too valuable to be mentally disqualifying ourselves from serving Jesus in the future. So maybe you did mess up. Maybe you did sin against Jesus. Repent and get back to work. Do you really think that if you help lead someone to Jesus, they're going to say, well, I want to follow Jesus, but since you're a sinner, I would rather someone else lead me to Jesus? No, nobody's going to say that. What a dumb thought, right? Sometimes it actually helps when people see that, oh, see, you got issues too, right? Sometimes it helps them see, oh, you need forgiveness too. You're not judging me as more holy than me. You're actually coming and saying, no, I'm just a sinner that's been saved by grace, and let me tell you how you can do the same. Jesus doesn't need you to be perfect to be fruitful. He just needs you to follow and abide in Him. And when you stumble in following Him, He wants to pick you up, dust you off, and send you back into the game. In that process, you just need to repent, ask forgiveness, and trust the calling that He continues to give you. Today we see Peter has a very specific calling. Your calling may be a little bit different, but don't miss that Jesus is very quick to send us back when we're ready to repent. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 21, only three verses, John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. First thing we're going to look at today is feed Jesus' lambs. Jesus addresses Peter, right? And Jesus initiates this discussion. As you know, just a month or two before this breakfast, Jesus had been Peter denied Jesus three times, right? Very common. We all know that. I would have to imagine that Peter still felt pretty rotten about it, right? He had told Jesus that he would never deny him. He told Jesus, I will die by your side. And then Peter denied Jesus in front of a servant girl. Not a big, burly Roman soldier that could have killed him, but a servant girl. was standing at the gate of Jesus' trial. Jesus doesn't ignore the infraction, but has given Peter some time before confronting it. Peter is often bold before Jesus' death. When we look at the text afterwards, it doesn't seem like there's quite as much boldness after Jesus' resurrection. It seems like he might be a little more timid, maybe a little more humble. Maybe the authors just don't record it. Maybe Peter's a little more timid. Maybe he's doubting his own effectiveness in God's plan at this point. I mean, those are very real thoughts we often have. It's hard to say, but those are very real feelings for someone that knows that they messed up. Perhaps you can relate. I can relate. I've had all those feelings. The good news is that our failures are not the end of the story. Some failures do limit how we are going to serve God in the future. If you're an alcoholic, I'm not going to put you at a rally where alcohol flows freely to minister. Some church offices have strict biblical qualifications. We hold to those standards at Central. And if you're embezzled money from Central, I will forgive you. But I'm not going to let you collect our offering either. That's just not going to happen. You can still serve somewhere. But it's not wise to put someone in a place that I know this is a very high temptation zone for you. That's just common sense. But it doesn't mean that you're done serving God. We should seek to restore one another. Jesus was known for giving second, third, 77th, even 177th chances. But a lack of self-control may show that your options as to how you serve are going to be limited. You have to prove that you are trustworthy with little if you want to be trustworthy with much. We don't get caught off guard by Jesus confronting our failures across the breakfast table like poor Peter did here. But we do have this little sense deep inside our heart called conviction that we know when, man, I done messed up this time. That voice that tells us we did something wrong. We can fight it and we can try to justify it, which we can never actually do. Or we can just confess to Jesus that I fell short. Again, please forgive me. And we can move on. Let's look at the process, what this process looks like for Peter. Jesus says, do you love or agape me? As we start into what Jesus asked Peter, I want to make sure that you notice the type of love that Jesus asked Peter each and every time and what type of love Peter responds with. The Greek language has three words for love, and they all mean different types of love. We have one, we just say love, but they have very specific terms for them. But we sometimes qualify the type of love we're talking about. You know, we might still say, I got a, you know, like, man, you know, me and Kevin, we got like a brotherly love, you know, like, yeah. You know, he's cool. He's giving me the eyebrow right now, but he's cool, you know. But let's talk about these three different types of love. First is agape love. All right, this is where Jesus, the first two questions that we have here, these are the first two questions that Jesus asked. Do you agape love me? Agape love is that perfect, unadulterated, always committed type of love that God offers to us. It always endures. It always rejoices with the truth. It keeps no record of wrongs. It's the love that is defined in 1 Corinthians 13. We will see that in Jesus' first two questions, but we're not going to see it in Peter's answers. Second, which shows up in Peter's answers, and one of the Jesus' third question is phileo love. Do you phileo love me? You don't have to be a Greek scholar to figure out phileo love, right? Okay? The city of Philadelphia means what? City of? Right, there you go. So you already know a little bit of Greek there, right? Phileo is a brotherly love. It's a good love. Not as perfect as agape, but, you know. Right? Come on, Kevin, give me a little. There you go. Yeah, see? That's what I'm talking about. He gets it. He isn't going to sleep today, that's for sure. But it's a good committed love. It's not perfect love, but it's a good, tight, brotherly love. The last one is eros, which is where we get the word erotic. Of course, that's a physical, intimate, sexual type love. That doesn't play into today's text, but those are the three types of love that we see in the Greek language. So here's Jesus' question for Peter. Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape love me more than these? Start with the name Jesus used at this moment. Jesus, who said Simon will now be called Peter, which means stone or rock, refers to Simon's birth name given again. Interesting that Jesus moves back to the name that Peter had before he followed him for 3 years. Maybe that was a message that Peter had reverted back to his old ways. Maybe it was just an attention getter. But Jesus calls out to Peter and calls him Simon, son of Jonah. The question continues, do you agape love me more than these? The love that Jesus asks about it's a perfect type of love that we have come to know only because of God's example for us, the way He loves us. Because Jesus does love Peter with agape love. That kind of goes without saying when we look at Jesus' life and His model. But the question now is Simon, do you love Jesus the same perfect love that Jesus has for you? Peter surely feels this question deep in his heart because he knows that Jesus has shown him agape love and what that looks like. And poor Peter, he knows he fell flat on his face. And remember also that Jesus told Peter in Luke 23:31-33, he says, "And the Lord said, Simon, 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 indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." I mean, Peter pledged his allegiance, right? I mean, he said the right words, and he probably fully believed them. But when the test came, he didn't exactly get the passing grade. Does Peter love Jesus? I believe fully that Peter loved Jesus. But he also knows that he doesn't love Jesus like Jesus loved him. So in all fairness, Peter can't say, "Yes, Jesus, I agape love you in a perfect sense." But Peter's very honest in his answer, and that he does give, right? Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo, you know that I brotherly love you." And Peter kind of dodged the question a little bit, but he substituted a lesser love in place of Jesus' question of perfect love. And it's honest, right? And I love that. It is honest, but it's also telling. And Jesus just continues on from there, and Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs." Lambs need to be fed. It's an important job, and Peter is being called back into ministry after a very public sin against Jesus. So Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Those of us feeding His sheep, for instance, what I'm doing here today, I'm simply an under-shepherd. We are submissive to the main shepherd, but still have responsibility to care for the sheep. The Good Shepherd laid down His life for you. My life? It can't pay for a whole lot. My life has no chance of paying for your sins. But I serve you as an under-shepherd. But I still have a calling to serve and instruct you well. And ultimately, my goal is to help you follow and serve Jesus first and foremost. My job is just to help you see that and move that direction. It's not my job to do all the work of the church. It's my job to equip you as the church to do the work of the church. That doesn't happen instantly. That takes time. That requires learning what your spiritual gifts are and helping to learn how to use those things. Your job in serving Christ is never to take in knowledge and stop there. It is to go out and spread the gospel to the lost and dying world. Serve those around you. Testify of Jesus' resurrection. Love one another. And love the lost so they can experience God's love in a very practical way as well. See, Jesus was telling Peter to get back to work. Jesus' lambs needed someone that was going to be there to feed them. And He's telling Peter, "You feed them." Perhaps that's what Jesus has called you to do as well. But even if you have failed miserably in the past, if you repent, He still has a place for you to serve. You can still live a fruitful life, and it's likely going to involve serving others in one way or another. So if you sinned against Jesus, and if you have a repentant heart, He's likely going to tell you, feed some lambs somewhere. Go out and serve someone else somewhere. Do something for other people. Maybe that will not be a big crowd for you. Maybe it'll be just one or two people along the way. But you still have a great purpose in God's kingdom. Even knowing that you only phileo love Jesus, He will still call you to serve. Jesus forgives and restores by telling us to feed His lambs. He also tells us to tend His sheep. Tend the sheep. Do you agape love Jesus? Jesus presents this question again to Jesus presents this question again to Peter because Peter never actually answered the first question of whether or not Peter agape loves Jesus, right? So Jesus calls him Simon again, son of Jonah. Calling the Simon the son of Jonah kind of highlights Simon's humanity. Does this man love the Son of God like God loves people? Knowing that Peter denied Jesus three times, I would guess that when Jesus asked the second time if Peter loved him, man, perhaps Peter feels a little bit of sting here. Ouch. Why would Jesus ask the same question a second time? Is Jesus pointing to the three denials that I did at his trial? After having to honestly answer Jesus that Peter brotherly loved Jesus, Peter's mind may even be swirling about, where's this all going? Where's this conversation going to end up? But again, Jesus' question wants Peter to respond to whether or not Peter, agape, loves Jesus. Before we go any further, how would you answer that? If you're sitting across a breakfast table from Jesus, he just made you a fish breakfast, and he said, do you, agape, love me? Do you love me absolutely perfectly like I loved you? How would you respond? If it was me, I would probably immediately think about how perfect Jesus' love is for me. And I don't think I could sit there and honestly say, yeah, I agape love you like as good as you love me. I'm a very technical person when it comes to words. And from a young age, if someone asked me, well, if something was perfect, it's pretty much never is, because there's just always something that could be a little better, you know? And so I process words very technically. When I hear a word like perfect, or is this the best ever? Don't ask me that if you don't want an honest answer. You know, I got to be honest with you if you're going to ask me, is this the best thing you've ever had? Maybe ask, is the best food you've ever had today? You know, maybe you have a chance at it, right? But I'm very technical when it comes to word, which as a pastor is good, because when I dig into Scripture, I look very particularly at words and how they're used. This attention to detail of words, again, it pays off being a pastor and studying Scripture, but sometimes it's tiring because I know sometimes people just want a simple answer to their question. It's hard for me to give a simple answer because I feel the need to give a technical answer. And this is a case where I think it's good to spend some time thinking about how we would answer Jesus in this situation. Do you agape love Jesus? Because that's how he's loved us. Peter loved Jesus, phileo. Peter kind of answers in the affirmative, but still waters his answer down a little bit. He affirms, yes, but then he keeps talking. He says, you know that I brotherly love you. We're brothers. We're tight. Peter says, yes, but the second half of the sentence makes it clear that Peter doesn't love Jesus the way that he knows Jesus loved him. And when you think about the way Jesus loved us, it's hard to commit to that type of love back, isn't it? Unconditional love is tough. Love that is always patient and always kind, that's tough. Love that never envies or boasts, like never, that's tough. Love that never gets too proud to do what's right, or that doesn't seek self first. I mean, how many of us can honestly sit here and say, I've never sought my own desires first? We're all guilty. That's real tough. A love that always rejoices in the truth is tough when we don't like what the truth actually says. But agape love always endures no matter what. Someone is trying to kill you because you love someone. Love sticks right there by their side. Maybe that's where Peter's hung up, right? Denying Jesus isn't exactly a very good example of agape love. Maybe he's just being very real and technical with himself. See, Peter didn't go far when Jesus was arrested, but he was still at the trial. I mean, he was there. Just not proclaiming who he was, but at the same time, he still falls short of agape love. And Jesus tells him, tend my sheep. See, Peter, in this imperfect type of love back to Jesus, is still told to tend my sheep. Tending is more than just feeding, right? First he said, feed my sheep. Now he says, tend my sheep. Feeding the sheep is important, but tending them requires more than just dumping food in front of a sheep and letting them eat, right? Tending means that you account for your sheep each and every day. You go out and you make sure they're all safe. You look for dangers in the area that you may have to remove. You notice if there is a broken leg or cuts or bruises on their face. A good shepherd will check the water supply, the greenness of the grass, maybe have some backup places to feed the sheep, be watching over potential predators on the premises. And they're always prepared. They're always thinking ahead. Okay, well, if this happens, then this is where I'm going to move my sheep. If bad weather comes, we're going to go to this place. That's what tending the sheep is, looking out for them constantly, all the time. Think about this assignment for a moment. Jesus just asked Peter if Peter agape loved him. And Peter says, yeah, I brotherly love you. And Jesus still tells Peter to do his part and tend my sheep. Peter basically confesses that he doesn't love Jesus like Jesus loves him. But Jesus is still giving Peter work to do. Peter isn't going to be able to tend the sheep nearly as well as Jesus can, but that doesn't stop Jesus from telling Peter to go and do it anyway. Do it to the best of your ability, Peter. As we see in the book of Acts, as well as Peter's letters, Peter becomes one of the most influential disciples in all of history. His leadership is legendary to this day. There's some that unfortunately have elevated him too high and started basically worshiping him, but he was greatly used by God. Feed my lambs and tend my sheep. Okay, Peter seems on board with the assignments. He's going to feed and he's going to tend. He'll do that. After the second time, maybe this conversation that's very uncomfortable, Peter, maybe it's done now. Not quite. See, Jesus forgives and restores by telling us to feed his lambs, tend his sheep, and feed his sheep. Jesus says this time, do you love me, phileo? Do you brotherly love me? Jesus looks at Peter one more time and asks, Simon, son of Jonah. Again, we start out the same way. Do you brotherly love me? But this time, Jesus changes the question. Jesus waters it down from agape to phileo love this time. Simon, son of Jonah, do you brotherly love me? There is any doubts about the three denials. I think the third question answers it. You might wonder why Jesus was questioning Peter like this, but remember, Peter's sin was very public. People all around him saw him denying Jesus. Sure, the disciples knew that the big, strong Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter's sin was public, so Jesus is making his restoration public. Well, this isn't just about Peter confessing publicly, right? This is also about him being restored publicly. And sometimes people ask, how we know when we need to confess to Jesus because he is the one that needs to forgive us. But sometimes public confession is more appropriate when it's a sin against a whole group of people. If we go back to the illustration of someone embezzling money out of the offering plate, it would be very appropriate to confess that sin before the congregation. If you stole from the whole congregation, you secretly lusted after someone, better to keep that one quiet and just confess that one to the Lord, or you might get a bloody nose. All right, appropriately so. My former pastor always advised that the confession should be as public as the sin was. I asked you earlier if you love Jesus. But let's change the question like Jesus did. Can you at least say that you brotherly love Jesus? If you can answer that, if you can't answer with agape love, what about phileo love? Do you love Jesus like you love your brothers? I'm all over that one. You know, like I said, but it'd be hard to say, yeah, I agape love Jesus. I wish I could put my whole heart into that one, but I think technically about life and the dumb things I've done, that's pretty tough. But if you ask me, do you phileo love Jesus? Yeah, man, I'm all in on that one. Don't even hesitate on that one. Peter also phileo loved Jesus. At this point, Peter says he is grieved because he had to answer this question a third time. When we know we messed up, it hurts to be questioned, especially when we already feel rotten about it, you know? You ever been in that position where you knew you messed up, and then the person asked you about it, and you really hope they're gracious? Peter most certainly does brotherly love Jesus. So to hear this question again, not to be, or had to be a little bit painful, how many times is Jesus going to ask? We know the answer to that, but Peter didn't yet. For all he knows, Jesus might ask a couple more times. With a heavy heart, Peter responds with a third time, Lord, you know all things. You know that I brotherly love you. Three times Jesus asks, three times Peter calls Jesus Lord. Not just master or teacher, but Lord. When you profess someone as your Lord, you're submitting to their teaching. You are submitting to their will. What they say goes. It means you laid down your rights to your own will. And Peter's profession of Jesus as Lord is no light statement. Peter may not feel adequate to say he agape loves Jesus, But he definitely sees fit to call Jesus his Lord. This isn't just an English title of a British nobility of a Lord. This is Peter saying that Jesus has full reign over his life. Peter also adds to this one, you know all things. I mean, he's basically looking at Jesus' deity here. You know all things, and you know that I love you, brotherly love. If Jesus is the Son of God, he does know all things. And Peter acknowledges that. Peter knows that Jesus knows all. Peter found out long ago that he can't keep anything from Jesus. How many times did Jesus call the disciples in the carpet like, this is what you're talking about behind my back? Jesus just knows stuff that normal people don't know. And if Jesus knows how much Peter loves him, then Jesus already knows that Peter loves him with brotherly love. Jesus isn't surprised that Peter doesn't love him like Jesus loves Peter. He wasn't taken back by that. Peter's just a man. We are just men and women. We can try to love with agape love, but we're always going to have bad days. Maybe we get impatient one day. Maybe some days we get a little selfish. Jesus doesn't take days off, though. He doesn't have those days. And fully knowing that our love can never live up to His commandment of love, and that's the way it's always going to be until eternity, fully knowing that we will never be able to love Him as well as He loved us anyway. That's agape love. Notice that since we are incapable of agape love, we wouldn't even know what it really is if Jesus didn't come to this world and show it to us. It's the only way we can even understand what agape love is, because someone came to this world and showed us what that looks like. We sin, Jesus forgives. We sin again, Jesus forgives again. Jesus went and died on a cross for our sins while we were still sinners. Jesus initiated the love towards us. We didn't initiate love towards Him. We were busy rebelling and sinning against Him. But He loved us before we loved Him. That is literally the only reason we even have any clue what this type of love, agape love, is. It's honestly a foreign concept to humanity. We as people naturally love those that love us and are nice to us. Sometimes we aren't even good at that. But Jesus loved those that sinned against Him. That's not common. In other words, but if Jesus didn't have the type of love for us, we would have no hope. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Until Jesus came to this world and offered us His righteousness, we were not righteous. But for those that believe in Him, it says we are declared righteous because of faith in Jesus Christ, the only one that God sent as our Savior and as our Messiah to set us free from that. See, Peter's answer may not stun us with bravado, but they're very important. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Jesus gives Peter one more command that is just a little different from the first one. Feed my sheep. We already heard, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Now he says, feed my sheep. And now Jesus points to the older sheep, the more mature sheep in the group, and tasks Peter with feeding those sheep as well. Peter is being called to lead the mature believers, and it takes a mature believer to lead other mature believers. As much as we don't like being called into a principal's office, it makes an impression on us. Peter is never going to forget this lesson, this breakfast that he had where Jesus talked to him. John writes it all down for everyone to read. I'm sure Peter appreciated that. Here, let me tell the world about your failures. I make light of it, but it's actually a great reminder that as we read Scripture, it's not about the disciples. It's not about the people. It's about God. It's about how much God loves us. It's always about God. If the Bible or even the Gospels were about people, they would have surely left out their failures. But there is a redemption available in their failures. There is hope for us in our failures. We see that God doesn't cut us off. Rather, He forgives us. He restores us and sends us back out to play in the game. Remember watching a movie years ago when I was in high school, and the guy was playing college football, and he got hurt. And the coach came out in the field, and he says, are you hurt? Are you injured? And the guy's laying there in pain saying, what's the difference, coach? He said, if you're hurt, you take the play off, and you get back out here and you play. If you're injured, you don't play anymore. He said, I think I can play, coach. He said, good. You're just hurt. So we'll take you out and you'll come back in a play or two. That's what God wants for us. He wants us, sometimes we got to play hurt a little bit, you know? But you got to get back in the game. You got to go out. You got to continue to worship the Lord. You got to continue to serve Him. You got to continue to build that relationship with Him. Man, sometimes we injure ourselves. Sometimes we do some really dumb things in following Jesus. But I trust God's Word when He says that if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just and He will cleanse me from sin and purify me from all unrighteousness. Then you know what I do? I get back up and I go back and I feed the lambs, I tend the sheep, and I feed the other sheep. That's what we do. God already took my weaknesses into account when He called me to be your pastor, and I trust His grace is sufficient enough for me to continue to serve. But that's also why I point you to Him and not to me. I'm an imperfect vessel, but I serve a perfect God. So my goal ultimately is not to get you to follow me, it's to get you to follow Him. And the same goes for you. You are going to mess up. And when you do, don't go around self-loathing and hate yourself. Oh, I'm just a terrible Christian. Oh, poor me. No. Confess your sin and get back in the game. So if you look at your life and you think, I'm not perfect, I can't possibly serve God, it's your logic that's flawed. If it took perfect people to serve a perfect God, it'd be like when I was a kid and my mom, when I walked into a china shop one time and she said with a very stern but quiet voice, don't touch anything. That's not what God tells us, is it? He doesn't tell us, don't touch anything. He tells us to go out and to serve others in His name. Imperfections and all. Granted, hopefully, we grow past some of our insecurities and our struggles, but His love is unconditional and His calling is clear to love one another, to share His love with the world, to take it to the masses. So even if you're imperfect like me, get to work. Not because you're holy, but because Jesus has forgiven you and restored you and given you some sort of calling to go out and continue to serve Him. So just know, you don't have to be perfect. God has already fully taken into account the mistakes that you were going to make the moment He saved you. And the same for me. He already took those into account. He knew what dumb things I was going to do. He knew all the dumb things you were going to do. And He was already prepared to love you anyway. See, as people, we have a little bit different situation, right? We don't know what people are going to do to us in the future. God already did. And He already had His Son die for us. So that He could save us. Like all the redemption and payment work is already done. Like the hard part's done, right? All He's got to do is come back and take us back to heaven with Him the next time. So keep in mind, He doesn't call you to serve Him because you're a holy and perfect person. But He is a holy and perfect God. And when a holy and a perfect God tells you, I want you to come serve me by serving others, we need to listen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before You. Every one of us sits or stands here today knowing that we fall short of Your holiness. We are imperfect vessels. Yet even broken and marred and sometimes stained, like You still give us opportunity to serve You. And Lord, through that serving You, we get to know You more. Lord, I ask that You help us to know You more each and every day. I ask that You help us to have the type of relationship where we mess up, that we run to You, and we know that we need to get to You to confess it. Lord, I know that through Your Word, You are clear, You will forgive us and put us back in the game. Or sometimes we do get injured. But Lord, so did Peter. And You told him, even in his imperfection, even knowing that he could not possibly love You like You loved him, You still told him to feed My lambs, to tend My sheep, and feed My sheep. Lord, help us to be faithful to do the same in whatever way it is You call us to do that. Knowing that we are imperfect, but You are holy. And so You are worth obeying and pursuing. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.